What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Today's show is brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Remember, you can get $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win in the NFL. Remember, FanDuel.com, America's number one sportsbook. New customers get $300 in bonus bets if your $5 bet wins. You can join today at FanDuel.com. Join America's number one sportsbook. You want to lock that in? Go to FanDuel.com today and tell them you heard about it on the Believe in Ole Miss podcast. And now, back to the show.
Hey, welcome into the Believe in Ole Miss podcast. It's a big one on Saturday. It's Ole Miss and Tulane. 2:30 is the kickoff. And I have my good friend here to preview the Tulane Green Wave. He's John Sokoloff. John and I go way back. He's with WGNO now, down in the Big Easy. Kind of their beat writer, if you will, covering Tulane. John Summerall, now soon to be Will Hall. But we knew each other back in the WCBI days. And, John, thanks very much for spending a few time, few minutes with us today.
Of course, Brad. It was good to see you. It's good to see you now, and it'll be good to see you this weekend. Always fun to catch up.
It is. I kind of remember, you know, that 22 season. We hung out a little bit for the Peach Bowl over in Atlanta. That was fun. I thought about you. Me and Carlo Barone and Robbie Falk did the Egg Bowl preview for WCBI, and it was fun to catch up with those guys. But looking at this team this year, you're down in New Orleans. You're very close to this team. I know you did some hosting duties with John Summerall on a television show that you did. Very close to the program. This will be a much different team than Ole Miss saw earlier this year, I'm assuming. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, Brad, you got to remember that when they brought Jake Retzlav on, he was only basically on campus for about a month and change the last time Ole Miss played against Tulane. So that's something to consider. Tulane will have their left tackle, Derek Graham, in this game. He's listed as probable. I mean, if you're probable in the CFP, you're going to play. He missed the Ole Miss game. That's another big one. And also, I mean, you know, it's like every college football team that's made it this far. You're a much better team now than you were in September for the most part. So, yeah, Tulane's going to be a lot more different. I mean, they're a lot more continuity on this offense. They have a lot of different receivers that have kind of been pushed into the mold a little bit more. So, yeah, man, they're better. And I would say the biggest change is they're much more acclimated and there's more a lot more of chemistry on the offense.
You know, both Ole Miss and Tulane going through coaching changes. John Summerall, to say it's a drastic difference between the two programs and how they're going through changes would be an understatement. John Summerall kind of waving at Tulane on the way out, giving them $100,000. Not so much the case with Lane Kiffin heading off to LSU. Distractions, is that something, in your opinion? I know it was kind of odd seeing the Will Hall press conference. It's almost like that's another team because Tulane has got so many things going for them now, playing in the playoff. Distractions, in your opinion, how the team's dealing with that?
Brad, it's so weird, man. Like, John Summerall flew down to Gainesville to do his introductory press conference in front of 80 credentialed media people and a bunch of other people. You had Muschamp there. You had Urban Meyer there. Just a ton of stuff going on. And then he flew back that night, and then he's doing his Tuesday press conference in his normal, you know, Tulane sweats, Tulane hat, and Tulane hoodie, and then doing the regular sit-down with me weekly. That was bizarre. You would think that there were a ton of distractions, Brad, but let me tell you, last year, Tulane dealt with a lot of distractions as well. Darian Mensah ended up leaving and going to Duke. That was probably a distraction for them. Maybe people knew he was going to leave. He got a big payday. But also John Summerall's name was floated big time for a lot of Power 4 jobs. He had Power 4 offers. People were wondering if he was going to stay or he was going to go. And look what happened. They lost their final three games of the year. They lost at home to Memphis, at Army in the American title game, blown out in that Army game, and then obviously to Florida in the bowl game. So I think that experience, Brad, really helped them, you know, for this year. Because once these things started to kind of percolate and come into the picture, they did lose the UTSA game. But ever since then, they're 5-0. I believe they've beaten every opponent by 10 or more points besides Memphis on the road. So I think that experience has really helped them. He had a meeting before the season with all the players and kind of addressed the whole distraction thing to them, saying no matter what, because there's as much player movement, Brad, as there is coach movement, if not more. So he basically got on the same page with all the guys to say, all right, look, whatever happens here, we are all focused on this season. This is the tunnel vision. Everything else that'll happen, you know, will go down later. And I think they've really, you know, they've really done well with that. They won a conference title. They've won five straight, and they're playing their best football of the year.
Looking at this Tulane team, Jake Retzlaff, the quarterback, you mentioned him a moment ago. To say he's their offense, I think on paper would be an understatement. He's obviously the quarterback, the leading passer. He's also the leading rusher on this team. You know, we saw him a couple of months ago against Ole Miss, 5 of 17, 50-something yards. Was actually pulled, John, as you saw, as starting quarterback. Obviously, some things have changed. He has really turned it on the last couple of weeks. How do you think he is mentally coming into this game after playing so poorly against Ole Miss a couple of months ago?
Well, in that game, again, like he was a month and change into here. Jake Retzlaff, I mean, when you watch him play, he's a good runner of the football. He has a million rushing touchdowns this year. I believe it's 14. It could be more. So that's been good. 16. There you go. Even better. He's not going to jump off when you watch him, like in terms of athleticism, in terms of ability, whatever. It's not good. You don't look at him and be like, well, oh my gosh, top five pick. What I can tell you about this kid though, is he is a winner. We saw him as a winner at BYU when they went 11-2 last year with him. And then they, I believe won their bowl game over Colorado. And then this year, I mean, it's been the same thing, man. Tulane's been in some tight games, and he's really helped kind of bail them out of it. They have a lot of different receivers who have contributed, so it's not like there's a true number one unstoppable guy. It's been a bunch of different ways. And then Jamari McClure and Javon Gordon emerge at different times at running back. But, yeah, I mean, I think Retzlaff, his running ability has definitely been very impressive this year compared to what it was before. But ultimately, I just think he's a winner. He, you know, he's just got that – you know, that moxie about him. John Summerall always says, you know, Jake Retzlaff looks like out there like he plays backyard football and he's going to lead you to a win. You know, that's kind of how he carries himself. And it's really helped this team. And they've been fortunate that they were able to get him when they did.
You talk about receivers, Shaz Preston, along with Anthony Brown Stevens and Omari Hayes, and then Bryce Bohannon, all right there around 30 to 35 catches apiece. A really solid receiving core. That receiving core just didn't do a whole lot earlier in the year. Do you think, and I think what you said a moment ago is key, just the cohesiveness of that group between Retzlaff and his receiving core really grew over the last couple of months, and I think we'll see a much different offense. Any other names on that offense other than the kind of usual suspects? I know you made mention that offensive line will see a positive development with a player coming back. But what can Ole Miss fans be looking for on that offense that maybe they didn't see a couple of months ago?
Well, Garrett Mamahat is a receiver who has spent a lot of the year hurt, so he'll be out there. He's one of the vocal leaders of this team. He's a New Orleans guy. That could be somebody, you know, even Pascuzzi could have some nice moments there. I mean, there's just so many guys that could end up having a big game for this team. It's like Carl Lewis had a big touchdown against East Carolina, you know. I don't want to say came out of nowhere, but had a big play and a big game. Trey Shackelford, the Washington State transfer, he had some moments in that ECU game too. There are so many guys who could end up having four catches for 80 yards that, you know, you didn't see coming. That's really how – I don't even know how many different players on this Tulane team have caught a pass. I'm sure it's somewhere between 15 and 20. Just absolutely insane. So there are a lot of different guys. But I think the main thing that's really going to help Tulane out in this matchup, again, is getting Derek Graham back. He looks the part – of a big-time left tackle. Brad, you'll see him Saturday. He's a huge guy, so that'll really help out. That'll help out with Retzlaff.
September 20th, these two teams faced each other 45-10, and Ole Miss had a really big day. Trinidad Chambliss, I had a pretty good day, but it was more Kawan Lacy on the ground for the Rebels. Defensively for Tulane, what are you expecting to see? They obviously did not play well on September 20th. We heard from John Sumrall. I'm sure you were at the press conference when he was addressing the media saying, number one, quote, we did not play very well. And he also said, John, quote, we didn't coach very well either. I expect to see a much different team. Defensively, who are you expecting to be someone that Ole Miss needs to pay attention to?
So here's the thing. The Ole Miss passing defense is second to last in the American in yards allowed per game. That's been, you know, a little bit of a struggle. So that's Trinidad just, I mean, he killed this team the last time they played. He was amazing in that game. I remember it, man. And the funny thing is Tulane is second in run defense. The run defense is actually pretty good. I know Lacy had the two touchdowns, but he had 84 on the ground. It was really, you know, Trinidad's rushing really killed them.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing that, you know, really was interesting. Defensively, Jack Chinchu was the most outstanding player in the American Conference title game. He's been a really good safety for them. Bailey Despany was on this team when they went 2-10. He's been a part of every single team that's made the American Conference title game. And at linebacker, Chris Rogers and Sam Howard are both a couple of guys that are explosive and have real potential. What I'm interested, though, Brad, is we never really get to see teams play each other two times in these circumstances. So not only do you have a guy like John Sumrall, who I firmly believe is one of the best in-game coaches in the country. He doesn't make many mistakes at all. So the fact that he gets to see a team for a second time against a program that doesn't have their head coach, that's what makes this game so fascinating to me. I mean, like, we know Pete Golding and we know his defense was dominant against Tulane the last time, but I don't know, man. Like, I feel like in some instances when you're the team that lost and you're playing in the rematch, you have somewhat of a little bit of an advantage because the team that won is just going to do what they did before. You're the team that where, you know, you can make the adjustments and, you know, the cards are in your favor when it comes to what you do.
This is the exclusive table with the view. This is your name on the list. This is 3x points on dining with Chase Sapphire Reserve and a $300 dining credit. Chase Sapphire Reserve, now even more rewarding.
Learn more at chase.com/Sapphire Reserve. Cards issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank, and a member FDIC, subject to credit approval.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Just in. Thousands of winter arrivals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 70% on coats, slippers, and cashmere from Kate Spade, New York, Vince, UGG, Levi's, and more.
Check out these boots.
They've got the best gifts.
My holiday shopping hack? Join the Nordy Club.
Get an extra 5% off every Rack purchase with your Nordstrom credit card. Plus, buy it online and pick it up in store the same day for free. Big gifts, big perks. That's why you Rack.
December deal drops at Lowe's are wrapping up, but there's still time to snag something worth bragging about. Get up to 40% off select major appliances, and members save an additional $100 on a new and exclusive Samsung French door refrigerator, now just $18.99. Need new tools? Select tools and accessories are up to 45% off this week. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/24. While supplies last, selection varies by location. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details.
I'll be interested in your thoughts on this. You've covered a lot of teams in the Southeastern Conference, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and then LSU, and, of course, now at Tulane, very close to that Green Wave program. I'd love your thoughts. How has John Sumrall, in your opinion, navigated leaving, going to Florida, coaching the bowl game? In your opinion, in the world of college football, how would you grade how he's handled all this?
Well, what I will say is, I mean, and when you compare it to what Lane did, it's a little different, and I do think the calendar makes things messy. Also, John Sumrall and Lane, by the way, they're good friends. They talk on the phone often. I do think the calendar is a mess for them. And also, going from Tulane to Florida, John Sumrall loves Tulane, and he had a bunch of P4 offers, and as you saw with the gift, he loves Tulane, a bunch of P4 offers. he didn't really want to leave unless a job really forced his hand. And the Gators job is arguably, you know, top 10 job in the country. So no one's really faulting him for doing that. And I think another reason why this eventual departure and this transformation period has been easy on, you know, whatever, when it comes to the success they've had, is because he's been unbelievably transparent. He talked to David Harris every day. And, you know, he was always kept in the loop about what his goals were as a head coach, where things stood. John Sumrall is unapologetically himself. He always is going to, you know, be honest and tell people what he's thinking. He does this with recruits. He does this with his AD. And he's done this with the media. So I think that level of openness has made it a very amicable eventual split between him and Tulane. And that's why, look, that's why they're allowing him to obviously coach in the playoff game, because, you know, that gives them their best chance to not only win in the playoffs, but he's the reason they're there. I mean, he coached in the American Conference title game when he already had a deal signed to go to Florida.
Is Will Hall playing a piece in any of this? I don't feel like I've heard his name very much other than when he was kind of explaining what he was going to do next year in his press conference, which is kind of weird because there was a press conference and then the next thing I checked is John Sumrall talking about practice and talking about playing Ole Miss. It just feels like a different dynamic. Maybe you could chime
it's
in on
weird,
that.
But, man.
Yeah, is Will going to play a factor in any of the game on Saturday?
So any press conference you saw with regard to John Sumrall in Florida, Will Hall being introduced to Tulane, any of that, that's all for the 2026 season. For 2025, it's the same as what it was in March this year when they started practicing in spring. It's business as usual. Will Hall is the passing game coordinator. He's helping out with the offense in that regard, and that's kind of the role that he's staying at. And actually, at the end of his press conference, he even said, you know, first things first, though, we got to, you know, play in the college football playoff and give it our best shot. So everything for 2025 is staying until Tulane loses.
3,500 tickets is what Keith Carter told me that Tulane was going to get. You've seen the secondary market, John. It's anywhere from $400 up to $2,000 a ticket, just insane prices. It's a history-making event in Oxford, as you know, the very first college football playoff game on campus, and it's going to be a really big deal in Oxford. It's going to be crazy. Only 3,500 tickets. What are you anticipating the crowd will be like from Tulane?
I would imagine that they would get a really good crowd there. And the crowds at Yeoman this year have been pretty strong. But you've had really good, you know, matchups. You had Northwestern come, which, I mean, it's not the sexiest Big Ten name, but, I mean, it is a Power Four school for the opener. That crowd was all right. Darian Mensa, when he returned with Duke, that was a really good one. I don't know how many Tulane fans were at the Vaught last time, but I would imagine that they would, you know, travel pretty well for this game. Because while it's a big historic game for Oxford, for the state of Mississippi, it's also a huge game for Tulane as well. And it's the biggest one in their program's history. So I would imagine that they would travel really well, especially when you consider the fact, Brad, the proximity. It's not that far. So I think we should have a good amount of Green Wave fans there for those 3,500 tickets. Just because, you know, what the program has been built up into these last 4 years. So I would say it should be that. Because also, Brad, in the last like month or so, I think Tulane, the AD David Harris was posting today, I think they got $1.8 million in donor donations for the NIL or whatever, which was like 173% increase compared to what they got in the 1 month span last year. So there's more interest in Tulane football now than there's ever been in decades. So I would imagine that they would show up very well.
FanDuel right now, John, has the line at 16.5. I think it's much closer than that. It started out at 17.5. It's only come down a point. So Vegas really thinks that Ole Miss is going to win this football game pretty handily. Let's say they don't, and let's say Tulane comes in and John Sumrall has a great game plan. How big would it be, in your opinion, for Tulane to play in the hometown Sugar Bowl there in the Superdome against Georgia?
Oh, man. That would be insane. That would honestly be, you know, that would be a great potential send-off, too, for John Sumrall, even if they were to win or lose that game. The fact that if they were able to play one more game in New Orleans in a bigger venue. Now, I would imagine you'd like to think that Georgia fans wouldn't still take over the Superdome, but those Georgia fans travel with the best of them. So I don't know, but that would be really cool, man. That would be cool for him because I know this city means a ton to him and his family. A couple of his kids were born here. He was here as an assistant. He's been here for 2 years. He really loves it, loves the administration, loves the AD. He's done well. It's allowed him to springboard himself into getting a top five, top 10 job in college football. So to be able to play in this city one more time, I think it'd be big for him. It'd also be big for Tulane fans and would really help kind of grow that brand for the future of it to help Will Hawk. Because we talked about those donations that Tulane donors have given to the NIL fund, that would skyrocket as well and would really kind of help the future. Not to mention the extra allocated money Tulane would get for making it to another round of the CFP, which usually gets lost in the shuffle sometimes, how much money you earn for making it to the college football playoff and then beyond.
One final question for John Sokoloff, so kind enough to join us. Look forward to saying hello, John, on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, it'll be good to see you up there, buddy.
Man, yeah, I look forward to that. Let's say that I'm right in that Tulane wins the game. We talk about winning and playing in the Sugar Bowl, and let's say that happens. What is going to have to happen for Tulane to beat Ole Miss on Saturday?
Honestly, my mind always goes towards the coaching advantage. And I like Pete Golding a lot. I covered him. He was a down-to-earth good dude. The guy can recruit. The guy can coach defense. Being a head coach, it's a different animal. And unfortunately for Pete, a lot of teams, when their coach makes their debut, it's usually against a cupcake team in August, and you kind of ease your way into it. That's not Pete. You know, I mean, you get to play a Tulane team that you are much more talented than and that you beat the first time, but still making your head coaching debut in this scenario, that's not the easiest. So I would imagine that, you know, Tulane would get off to a fast start. The defense would bend but not break, maybe only allow, 24 points. And then Joe Craddock would call, the greatest game of his life, and they would win. But I think they would absolutely also have to win the turnover battle, maybe get like a pick six, a big fumble deep in the Ole Miss territory. But again, man, like there's Trinidad Chambliss just had an amazing game before. So, I mean, that is such a big thing to have to deal with. But I think those things, you would have to, Pete Golding would probably have to be a situational disaster in certain moments, win the turnover battle, fast start, and John Sumrall would really have to take advantage of playing that team a second time.
He's John Sokoloff. You can follow him on Twitter /X at John Sokoloff. He's, of course, with WGNO, sports reporter, producer, and as we talked in pre-production, kind of the beat writer for Tulane there in New Orleans for WGNO, and does a great job also with the coach's show that he does with Coach John Sumrall. John, we'll see you in a couple of days. Thanks very much for joining us, and it's always a pleasure.
Awesome, man. I'll see you up in that press box up in Oxford this weekend, man. I can't wait.
Ole Miss fans, football season is in the home stretch, an historic season for the Rebels. The NFL is on the road to the Super Bowl. Could all-time Rebel great A.J. Brown and the Philadelphia Eagles go back-to-back? Get off the bench and into the game with Underdog, the best place to get in on all the action all season long. Regular Talk of Champions listeners know I've been playing Underdog all year. Jackson Dart keeps delivering for the New York Giants. Think Trinidad Chambliss and Kewon Lacy will go higher or lower on stats like rushing yards, touchdowns. They've been regular picks for me, and if you get your picks right, you could win up to 5,000 times your cash. Download the Underdog app today and sign up with my promo code CHAMPIONS to score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS for $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. Underdog. Make picks. Win money. Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 years or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS Underscore HTML for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncgambling.org. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
And we welcome you into the Believe It Ole Miss podcast. Excited today to have someone very special to the podcast, someone I've known for a long time and someone that knows Ole Miss head coach Pete Golding very well. It is all everything quarterback at Delta State, holds all kinds of records. He's Scott Eister. And Scott, thanks very much for carving out a few minutes today. I know you're excited about the game this weekend.
Yes, sir, Brad. I appreciate you having me.
Taking a look at, you know, we talked a little bit in pre-production. Tell me a little bit about your excitement level of seeing your friend Pete Golding as head coach at Ole Miss, and not only that, in the position to coach this team in the college football playoff.
Yeah, Brad, you know, as excited, I guess, as I am, I could tell you that Pete's just excited. He embraces these types of opportunities. And he doesn't take things like this for granted. He was chosen for a reason, and I can tell you he's going to work his backside off and make sure he puts a good product on the field for the Ole Miss fans and the nation to take in on Saturday.
Well, we've heard the story. It's been told a lot. Going back to Hammond and you and Ryan Barker, along with Pete, Ron Roberts, Delta State, take me back to that day until – when you thought, hey, man, I'd like to go to Delta State, and I've got my friend here that might be interested too.
Yes, sir. No, it's a great story. You know, we came up as kids, went to grade school together, went to high school together. And then, I was committed to University of Louisiana Monroe. Stan Humphreys was the offensive coordinator there at the time, and he was my main recruiter. Well, you know, typical of college football, that entire staff got fired. So I basically opened up my recruitment back. I had a buddy who's my best friend, me, Pete, and Ryan go way back. Ryan calls Barker, and he's like, man, what about Delta State? I was like, man, I've never heard of Delta State. You know, never been to the Delta of Mississippi in my life. But I was like, I'll definitely come. Let's check it out. And then Pete was actually really getting recruited as a baseball player at the time, but, was going to go to Millsaps and play ball. So we talked Pete into coming on the road trip, and we had talked to Rick Rhodes at the time, the head football coach there. And, basically we go up there. The ride there was very interesting, especially three kids from South Louisiana. We're going through, the soybean fields, and there's not much. As heading through the Delta, but we finally get to Delta State University, and we really enjoyed it. Pete had an open tryout, basically. Coach Rhodes personally went out there with Pete, worked him out, went through some ball drills, ran him, and basically told him, hey, I don't know how much money we have, but you can have it. And then, you know, Pete basically came on, you know, he did get have a scholarship that first year, but it wasn't a full scholarship.
Yeah.
And then Pete, his second year, performed, came in and played as a freshman, performed, and was on full scholarship his sophomore year.
You know, I think there's a lot of, you know, talk out there that Pete was a walk-on, and Mike Kershaw, who's a good friend, who obviously served on the Delta State staff back then, and was at Rice, Mississippi College, and he pointed out very nicely, he wasn't a walk-on. He did receive a scholarship. He just wasn't.
He did.
It wasn't the full scholarship.
Correct. No, he received a scholarship for sure.
It has been a Michael Cassidy Journal interviewed Coach Rhodes, and of course, people talked to Coach Roberts. Pete came on just really wanted to get on the field, and I think it was interesting. Yeah. He would end up being an all-conference defensive back, but started out on offense. Remember how that happened?
Yeah, Pete was an athlete. I mean, in high school and at, you know, even in grade school, Pete played running back and receiver for us. And then you move on to Hammond High School, and he played running back there. He also played some receiver there. Pete was just an athlete. I think you could have put Pete at any position, and he would have adapted. He's just that's his personality. So I think the need at the time was on the offensive side of the football. But I think as, you know, reps came, they could tell that Pete's personality was more to play on the defensive side of the football. So he was able to do that, and he was very successful at it.
What do you remember about Delta State as Pete? Obviously, I know coming from Louisiana, but specifically at Delta State on the college level, what do you remember about Pete being a teammate?
He was a leader. I mean, Pete walks into a room and, you know, he you could just tell just by his body language, his tone, the things that he says, how he acts. He's a leader. So he really, as a sophomore, took over as the leader of the defense on the back end at Delta State. And you could always tell. I mean, he comes from good coaching. His dad was a great defensive football coach. But you could always tell that his playing career was going to transition into the coaching arena. And it's definitely, he's been pretty successful now, the head coach at Ole Miss.
Yeah, that kind of leads me into my next question, Scott. You're an incredibly successful quarterback at Delta State. Like I said, have all kind of awards. But you're in the education field, but not in the coaching field. What do you think led Pete down that road of coaching, and what makes him so successful? Mainly, what do you think he learned at Delta State as a college player that he can transition over to be such a successful coach?
I could tell you this. Whatever Pete chose, he was going to be really good at. Okay, so – but he decided to choose coaching. I mean, he grew up – his dad was a coach. He was on football fields throwing balls around his whole life, you know. His brother was an athlete, played football, you know – I think it was in his blood, you know, and then Pete just decided to make the decision, hey, I'm going to be really good at whatever I do, okay? And he was really good at relationships and connections with players, and then he was a hell of a ball coach as far as schematics are concerned. You put those two things together, he has a passion for it, and it's brought him to basically where he's at today.
You can always say good morning, but when you're about to enjoy McDonald's breakfast, you say good morning.
Now, get a sausage McMuffin with egg for just $2.50. Only at participating McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
December deal drops at Lowe's are wrapping up, but there's still time to snag something worth bragging about. Get up to 40% off select major appliances, and members save an additional $100 on a new and exclusive Samsung French door refrigerator, now just $18.99. Need new tools? Select tools and accessories are up to 45% off this week. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/24. While supplies last, selection varies by location. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Obviously, been under some of the best with Nick Saban. We talked about Coach Rhodes, Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, worked with Frank Wilson at UTSA. Has had a nice road in regards to what he has learned from all of these big-time head coaches. What do you think, in your opinion, on a personal level, that has him ready to lead a Southeastern Conference program like at Ole Miss, not only in this first game, but the biggest game in program history?
Yeah. Pete's really smart. He takes the good and the bad and every experience that he's been in as a football coach. And I think he's molded that into where he feels like he's really ready to be successful to lead a program. So along his road, yes, he's been a lot of places and he's been really successful around some really successful coaches. I think he's going to take what he's learned on that path through those coaches. But also he's got something foundationally that he's not going to change because that's what's made him successful as a human being. So I think if you stick his confidence and he's really smart to his experience along the way and you mold those, I think Ole Miss is going to be really excited about the future of the football program with him leading it.
I know that you and some friends are coming up to the game, and I can't imagine the excitement level. By the way, John Cox, a good friend of the program here, says you need to come by the tailgate. So, if you have a chance,
we're so pumped about coming to the game. You know, I told Pete, I was like, dude, it's your first one. We wouldn't miss it for the world. I don't care who you were playing or where you were playing at, but it happens to be in Oxford. And I did get a text from John, and I did tell him that we would all Pete's. Buddies growing up, we're all going. We would definitely stop by his tailgate and have an adult beverage or two.
I'd love to get your thoughts, if you can get your mind kind of in the middle makeup. What's it going to feel like, in your opinion, seeing a childhood friend leading a team like a major college program in the SEC, playing in the college football playoff, leading a team onto the field? What's that going to feel like inside the stadium?
Yeah, it's super excitement, but I think part of you, because you love your friend, it's nervous. You know, it's a little nervous. We have full confidence in Pete to put a great product on the field. But part of you, you know, as a human being, I guess, I'm a little nervous to see how things go just because of perception in college football right now. But yeah, super pumped. But again, part of me is very nervous. A part of us is very nervous. We want him to be successful. We know he is going to be. He's been put in this situation for a reason.
Going back to your days at Delta State, I'd love to kind of get some stories from back when you played for the Green and White over in Cleveland. You won a lot of games, broke a lot of records. But was there any particular moment or anything you could kind of, you know, look back on and think, you know, wow, this guy may have a future in coaching? Specifically on the defensive side of the ball, maybe some plays that Pete made, maybe some things you heard him say in the locker room, just kind of some things that the fans might find interesting from your playing days at Delta State.
Certainly. I mean, like I told you, as a sophomore, you know, it's tough. He's 19 years old, but he's the leader of that defense. you know, and he's got a lot of guys looking to him to make defensive calls on the back end to put our defense in the correct position to be successful. I think that was key early on to say this. He's a coach on the field, you know, but he's also a really good football player as well. We always knew that that was going to transition. We always thought Pete would get into coaching, and we were hoping he would. But I know at certain times in his life, going through college into his junior and senior year, I think he didn't know that he was going to get into coaching. He explored avenues, you know, in talking to him about not getting into coaching. But I just think his passion, his bloodline, and then his success on the field, he knew was going to transition into success and leadership as a football coach, you know, as a career, as a livelihood the rest of his life.
Before we get out of here, Scott, thank you very much for carving out a few minutes today. I know everybody's excited about the game on Saturday. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about Delta State. Both are alma maters, and you look at what Coach Cooley has done during his tenure. Has been really good. Coach Kennison, who we know very well, the director of athletics, has continued to do big things there. Rodney Batts, the baseball program. But I'd love to ask you about your time at Delta State, kind of what you remember fondly. Obviously, for people that don't know, the younger generation that may not know just how good you were, take me back to some of the playing days at Delta State, what you remember fondly and some things that really stick out to you.
Yeah, I think part of what attracts you to the Delta State football program is the Cleveland, the family that's there. We had some really, really good football coaches there, but understand now that they were better human beings. So as a young man, I really appreciate what they did for me, you know, moving into adulthood. You know, we were learning a lot. I was learning a lot, you know, as a young man going to Delta State University. So I would say that our football program, you know, they give you an opportunity to play at the next level. But, you know, they set the foundation for who you are going to be as a man. And that's one thing I'll never forget. And I really appreciate all my coaches that were at Delta State University. You know, they did. They were really good schematically and on the offensive side of the football. But they were also there for you, you know, as a young man in life, you know, which you now look back. And yes, I was a really good football player. But, man, you look back now and I just really appreciate what they did for me and how they molded me into a man when I left college to be the leader I am now and what I do for a living.
Scott, the college experience, and you talked a little bit about it, the Cleveland, the Delta State community, off the football field, what do you remember about being a student at Delta State? I know for me, yeah, it was a kind of a family atmosphere. You kind of knew everybody. You kind of knew all your professors. What are your thoughts and how you remember being a student?
Correct. No, it's the same for me. All the professors knew you, even if you weren't in the business department. A lot of the business professors knew you. You know, if you weren't in the education department, they still knew you. Delta State was the thing there in that town. So anything that you were doing, you know, it translated from the academic side to the athletic side. You would see those same people at your pep rallies, you know, at your pregame meals, at the games, on our road trips. So you really felt like we felt like we were very supported. Okay. And that's something that I guess looking at college athletics now, you don't have that opportunity as much, but you did at Delta State in that small community with that support academically translating into our, you know, on the football field.
Scott Eicher, thanks very much for joining us. Safe travels to the game on Saturday. We hope you have a great time in Oxford. I know it's going to be really cool getting to see your friend Pete Golding run out of that tunnel.
Man, we are so pumped. We're on a group message with a bunch of us coming up there, and we're so excited to come up there, cheer him on, and you know, we're pumped to be involved Hemingway on Saturday.
Thanks, Scott.
I appreciate it. Go Rebs.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.